places, and you could find such prayers. I think here is practically the only place we find anywhere in the Bhagavatam glorification of Sudarshan. Sudarshan is the personal weapon of the Lord, who, as it's described here, dissipates the darkness of the world and is the upholder of religious principles. One of the ways that it upholds religious principles is that it destroys irreligion. Irreligion is darkness, and religion or spirituality, knowledge, is light. Sudarshan, darshan means to see in this sense, and sudarshan means one who lights up everything, one who gives complete illumination. Vrivasa Muni is being chased by Sudarshan Chakra because of his offenses by trying to kill a pure devotee of the Lord only for his own sense gratification. It's interesting to note here how Vrivasa Muni is seen in many circles as very powerful and very influential. He is so influential that he came to Vrindavan one time to visit Vrishabhanu, the father of Srimati Radharani. And the gopis came, along with Radharani, to give Vrivasa Muni some nice milk sweets. And actually, Radharani, she cooked for Vrivasa Muni. And he was so pleased that supposedly he gave a benediction that anything she cooks is considered to taste like nectar. Will give vitality, strength, and spiritual happiness. Of course, no one can bless Radharani. Radharani is the supreme blessed. She blesses everyone. But in her humility, she accepted that as a gift from Vrivasa Muni. But we see that such persons, although he was... Now here's an interesting statement, because Phil, this relates to your question. Here's Vrivasa Muni. This person is a powerful yogi, and he's a plenary expansion of Lord Shiva. That means he was manifested from the desire of Atri Muni to have a son. So he had three sons. One was a plenary expansion of Lord Vishnu, who was Dattatreya, a plenary expansion of Lord Brahma, who was Soma, and a plenary expansion of Lord Shiva, who was Vrivasa Muni. And so he was a powerful expansion of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva's, he's like one of the controllers of the entire manifestation. He's in charge of the facility to destroy the universe. So here's Vrivasa Muni, but still he's acting on his material. He has a material desire. He's puffed up. He's proud. He has power. He has tremendous power. No one can. There's no one today who has power like Vrivasa Muni. He can fly everywhere in the universe. He can go to the outer edges of the universe. He went to Brahma Loka. He went to Shiva Loka. He ultimately went to the Vaikuntha planets to see Lord Vishnu. And he has such mystic power. He has thousands and thousands of followers. But yet, here it says that in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that such a person, we can see his real identity. And understand how inferior he is because of his dealings with devotees. So although Ambarish Maharaj doesn't have all these powers, still he's greater than Vrivasa in the sense that he's purely surrendered to the Lord in love. Whereas Vrivasa has not. He has so many mystic powers, so many followers, and he has also devotion, but he's still mixed. He's not pure. So he tried to kill Maharaj Ambarish because Maharaj Ambarish disturbed his false ego, or seemingly disturbed his false ego, which he thought. And therefore, the Lord acted to protect Maharaj Ambarish. At the same time, he wanted to destroy this rascal who was an offender. So we see that if a person, although how great he is, if he's not a devotee of the Lord, even how powerful he is, if he's not a devotee of the Lord, he's really not so important. To become a devotee of the Lord means ultimately to have all the opulences of the Lord. Just like if your father is rich, then because you're the son, the property of your father is pretty much yours also, in one sense. And whatever you can get from your father is ultimately to your credit. So taking shelter of Krishna means to have everything. All wealth, all fame, strength, knowledge, renunciation, beauty, everything comes from Krishna. So when we are connected to Krishna in devotional service, we also receive the benefits of Krishna's opulence. Although a devotee doesn't display these things, but if they're there, they're needed. So Durvasa Muni was much more powerful than Ambarish. But because Ambarish was surrendered to the Lord protected him. So that is the special mercy of becoming a devotee of the Lord. That one receives all the gifts of the Lord. And Krishna says, Kuntiya pratijani hi name bhakta pranashyati. That one who is a devotee, he has all protection. I give that, I promise. The story also is that when Bhishma Dev was fighting so fiercely that he was about to kill Arjuna, Krishna promised that he would not fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. I vow that I will not fight, he said. But when he saw Arjuna ultimately going to be killed by Bhishma Dev, he broke his promise. He came down, grabbed the broken chariot wheel, and he charged at Bhishma Dev. He broke his promise. Sometimes people criticize, oh Krishna, you say one thing and you do something else. They say like that. Can't trust Krishna. But ultimately he did it for a higher purpose, to protect his devotees. And that is his real opulence. Krishna is so inclined to his devotees that his devotees, as he says, as is mentioned in the previous chapter, his devotees are his very heart, because the devotees have given their life for him, so therefore Krishna will give everything to his devotees. So to become a devotee of God means to have the full power of God. That is the special. And here, when one has acquired power through any other means, ultimately it's really insignificant, because it serves the wrong purpose, and ultimately it is under the influence of the illusionary energy, and it cannot stand the test of time. So see, we see here just how important it is to ultimately take shelter of the Lord. When one takes shelter of the Lord, one is completely happy. When one takes shelter of anything else, whatever else we take shelter of, if it's not in connection with Krishna, that can never give us real satisfaction and happiness. Happiness comes by taking shelter of the Lord. Okay, it's getting a little late. Don't want to go too long today. Is there any comments or questions on anything? Yes, Phil.
Does Krishna ever give out his weapons like Shiva does? People go to Shiva for weapons sometimes. that they come to me for that type of stuff?
I don't remember any incidents where the Lord has given out his personal weapons. The demigods do, and Shiva also does. There is some examples. I can't remember exactly where the Lord has given out his personal weapons to someone who was fighting. You remember any Prema Bhakti, Prabhu? Does the Lord, just like people approach Lord Shiva for weapons sometimes, and he gives. Is there any cases where people approach Lord Vishnu and they received a weapon from him?
One of us in Dwarka, you can ask something else.
Which one?
Club
Gada.
Yeah.
That's a nice one. Okay, so there's an example. There's not many. There's probably others too. Okay, any other questions, comments? Thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.